The reason why we have all to put all those wires looks like, well, electronic man is because we do have a wonderful members that I cannot be here. So we provide them teleconference connection option. And so they are with us, not in body, but they are still connected with us. This scripture that you see on the screen is a scripture that you have heard many, many times. I have no doubt that you are very familiar with this. Probably is one of the easiest verses in the Bible to memorize. And you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I don't know if you have met somebody that has the habit of constantly lying. The person who constantly make sure that I can remember what I said last. And then they always messed up because liars, they don't go too far. They do a lot of walking, a lot of going around and around, but they don't go very far. And we did talk about this last week. Do you remember what the topic last week? The art of deception. So today, we'll balance that talk that we have with the truth. What is the truth? But before we get there, we'd like to wish everyone a happy and blessed Sabbath. Today is the message today, the topic that we chose is what is the truth? Of course, you cannot see on the screen and probably on the bulletin you cannot see, but when we put this together, we spend some time and have you noticed there is something different on the order of things in on the title? What is different? You. The truth is about you. It's not about anybody else. And that's why I made a point to make that you different. So that because usually when there's something different, that's what it calls our attention. So I want you to pay attention to the you. Because today is about you. The bulletin, we did the same thing. The sign on the street that says, just ahead, truth. And there is also, we emphasize you. And on the title of the message we put. Now, you cannot see, of course, but even the letters that we have for the word truth, the truth, have three T's there. In two of them, Jesus is there. There is a picture you cannot see, but there is there, Jesus, in two of them. And one of them does not have Jesus. When I was doing this, I thought about the Calvary. When two, Jesus and another one who accept Jesus, it became one with Jesus. But there was one who decided not to accept the truth. And sadly, there is always someone who decides to listen to the truth, be on the spot with the truth, and yet do not embrace the truth. Is the spirit of rebellion that we spoke last week. I don't know. When we look into the churches, and by the way, just so-called Christian churches, we have more than 30,000 United States alone. They call denominations. And the people got so tired of hearing about the denomination, they says, let's create something new. Let's create a non-denominational church. And they start multiplying again. And now we are in the thousands of those call themselves non-denominational. So the question is, why so many options? If the truth is one, why so many people and all of them different ask to have, I mean, they say that they have the truth as well. I mentioned to you here before a story, a true story. I have a church member that he was an elder. Thank God he's not from this church here, okay? He's an elder. And he decided to date somebody from another denomination. A very, very, very Roman kind of denomination. It's not a Catholic church. Another one that is almost exactly the same. And he came to me and said, Pastor, would you marry us? And I said, I can't. Why? Not because the denomination tells me I cannot. It's because the Bible tells me I cannot. And it's not because you are better than her. is that the two of you, until you worship the same God, your marriage is going to be, is going to suffer very much. Probably it won't last, or maybe last, but it's going to be very difficult. That's why the Bible advised not to. So he said, but her beliefs and ours are basically the same. And I said, oh my, he is a church elder. Or either he does not know anything about her beliefs, or he does not know anything about his beliefs. So I said, either way is trouble. I heard many people saying, and this is what is infiltrating the church, even the Seventh-day Adventist church is infiltrating, our thinking to assume that everybody is okay. Everybody, they are good. You know, they may not believe the same way we believe, but they are good. And you know what that means? That we stop preaching the gospel. Because we think that everybody's safe, everybody's okay. So we don't have that strong commitment anymore about preaching the faith that God has chosen us to preach. And that, brothers and sisters, is very dangerous. And that is a terrible lie. So Satan not only multiplied many different options, but he's telling everybody now that everything is just fine. It is not just fine. So can you see a sign on the street that says, truth that way, truth that way, what about that way, everywhere? So people become confused. And when people are confused, but they have a strong need for the truth, they say, let me embrace the one who is more convenient, the one who is across the street, the one who is easy for me, or the one where my family member belongs to. So people decided to embrace something no longer because it is the truth, but because they do not know where the truth is. So the question, what is truth? Some people may say, truth is relative. It depends on who is asking. Is it? Is there such thing as absolute truth? If it's not, then the Bible is wrong. And I, believe me, I don't want to come to that conclusion, because without the Word of God, there is no faith. There is no need for faith at all. Truth is not a matter of opinion. If you ask a lot of people, they think it's just a matter of opinion. Can you afford to be driving and then recite that, is it the light green for to go, or is yellow to stop, or is ready to go? What? I'm going to have my own opinion. And drive it through the cemetery. That's exactly where we're going to arrive, very quick. Many people think, oh, let's see, I am now inside of airplane. 10,000, you know, up there high. And then I decide to have my own opinion about, should I stay in or just open the door and get out? You see how convenient people, when they say the truth is a matter of opinion, is because they want to be God. And they want to mold the truth according to their convenience. And that's why they say it's a matter of opinion. By the way, when you are elected and you're going to take an office, they ask you to say this, and most of the time the cameras are there and the whole nation hears you, depending on what office that you take. It says, do you swear to tell the truth? You know, if they would take this seriously, all politicians, with a very few exceptions, will be fired on the spot. God has mercy. Those are the people that are leading our nation, leading the world. They have promised to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Help who? Most of them don't believe in God at all. So how can you ask somebody to swear in the name of God when they don't believe in God themselves? So it's easy. Oh, don't matter. I'm swearing to nobody. I don't accept God in their lives. So where this question came from? In the Bible, there's this question. Pilate. I read it. Yes, not in Spanish. Then I was reading a sentence what he said in Latin. And it says, Pilate, he says before Jesus Christ, "Are you a king? Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You said rightly that that's what I am. I am a king. For this cause I was born." Now, I want you to pay attention to this because Jesus was speaking about himself, but he was speaking about you as well. And for the females, of course, you can say, "Are you a princess, a queen?" Yes, that applies for you too. So Jesus Christ, because it says, we are one in Christ. So whatever Christ claims to be, if we are in him, we have the right to claim the same thing. Do you know what I'm saying, right? So are you a king? He says, I was born. Brothers and sisters, we are born for a kingdom. We are not born just to pass through this life and go to the grave and that's the end of it. He says, for this cause I was born. So don't forget, tell your children why they are here. It says, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world. Why are you here? Do you know why you're here, who you are? Listen to the words of Jesus Christ, that I should bear witness to the truth. Every single one of us here, remember, the you on truth is talking about you. It says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Anyone who wants to find the truth needs to hear Jesus Christ's voice. So, what did he do? Was he listening? He said, what is truth? He asked him, you're talking about the truth, that I need to know the truth, I need to hear the truth, and what is the truth? And immediately before Jesus even started to talk, he went out and talked to the people. And he told the people his own sentence. He was not sending a sentence on Jesus, but his own sentence. Because look what he said. He said, he is not guilty of any crime. That is the truth. So he spoke the truth. But later on, he washed his hands, thinking that just washing his hands, he was going to change the truth. How many people think that just by one act, they can change the whole truth? John 38. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you'll be free indeed. I told you many times this story. I'm going to repeat again. I was 16, and I was in a boarding school. Sometimes they send good students, good people to boarding school, but sometimes they send the troublemakers to see if they can get things. I don't know what the reason why they sent me to the boarding school, but I went to the boarding school. It was over there. I have my challenges. No more details than that is necessary. And I have my challenges. And one assistant to the dean of boys, individual that all of us admire him, we admire him because he was never mad. Even when he dealt with difficult situations with all the students, he was never upset about anything. He was a person, we could see Christ in him in everything he did. His name was Esdras. And he, that's his name in Portuguese, okay? Yes. Let's not try to make him turn into an English. His name's still Portuguese. And so what happened is that he took a Bible and he put it in my hand. When I thought that he was handing me a ticket with some kind of discipline action that was going to take about something that I did, instead of giving me a punishment, he put a Bible in my hand and said, this will change your life. That's all he said. He didn't say anything else. He didn't say, read it, become a Seventh-day Adventist, nothing. He just put a Bible in my hand and says, this will change your life. He said with such a conviction that I was motivated to say, what in the world is this that will change my life? I assumed that he meant change my life for better. And so I decided to read that book. And you know the rest of the story. I read from Genesis to Revelation. And when I finished, I found the truth.
Amen.
And I have been free since.
Amen.
And it's a wonderful feeling, brothers and sisters. If you have not tasted yet, taste it before it's too late. It's a wonderful feeling to be free in Christ. Amen. To know the truth indeed. This picture is a cartoon, and you have two individuals here. One trying to clean the truth, trying to make sure that it shines the truth. Another one is trying to cover the truth. And those are the two aspects that sometimes we see in life. The moment that somebody is trying to make sure that the truth is clean and open, very easy for anybody to access to, some other people are trying to block the view of truth. Now, can you see this well? I don't know if you like myself. I like details. I look at details always, especially in pictures. It is two places there. In one place is offering the inconvenient truth. Another place is a reassuring lie. And look what happens. Not a single one is choosing the truth. Everybody, of course, they want to the fake instead of the fact. The lie instead of the truth. But I don't know if you notice, I'm going to call your attention to every single one online, even the kid, have a long nose. Have you noticed?
Yes.
And why is that? Some of you here know Pinocchio, right? What happened when you lie? They say that your nose keeps growing, growing, growing. And that's what everyone who is going to imagine lie is just make sure that their nose gets a little extra inches there. And they are all going after lies. I used this quotation last week, but it was so vital for this message that I decided to repeat. Relationships and truth. Truth and reason are eternal. Let me repeat what he said. Truth and reason are eternal. Why? There is no truth without our ability to reason. If we don't have the ability to reason, we would not be able to understand, to accept, and even to process what the concept of truth. Truth is only possible when our minds are healthy and is connected to God.
Amen.
Hebrews 11 says clearly, without faith is impossible to please God. The fool says there is no God. Why? Because their brains are not connected with God. And so truth and reason are eternal. Those two things will stay forever. They have prevailed, and they will eternally prevail. He was almost like quoting scriptures, because I will give you some scriptures. This Thomas Jefferson, the third U.S. president. Now, relationship is truth. I want you to pay very close attention to this. I reused this before, but I want to emphasize this. A relationship and truth. When you have truth and you have a relationship with God, we call that worship. True worship, not just any worship. Because as you know, I'm going to give you some texts in the Bible here, that the people that believe in God, they have a worship, but yet their worship were false. So, relationship, when you have truth, how do you relate to believers? We call that fellowship. And what about new believers? What do you think that will be? What do we do with new believers when we have truth and have faith, have a relationship? We call it discipleship. So what about potential believers? What do we call that when we want to relate to those that are seeking the truth? We call friendship. What about family? Yes, truth and family help us to have a relationship, companionship. There's one more that I'd like to, there are many more others, but I have one more that I'd like to bring your attention. What is truth? I believe I skipped one. The other one was say, when you deal with people, maybe I switch the slide, you will find later on. But another one that I would like to have, the last one, it says, when you deal with people that are ungodly, you have hardship. And Jesus said, we will have hardship if we keep the truth. If you want to avoid hardship, then you just leave the truth and you'll be with them. But then they're a little warm time, 1,000 years later, a little hot. When it is knowing the truth or speaking the truth, both are essential for our relationships. And here's the one. Yes, I just switched that. With anti-believers, I know you may say, Pastor, I am an English-speaking person. I have never found that word. Yes, we create, just for the sake of this, you may not find this in a dictionary, anti-believers, but it is also the ungodly, the ones who are against anybody who believes the truth. Okay, as long as you believe like them, they have no problem with you. But if you believe a little bit different, then, and that's hardship. The truth is in us. In John, 1 John 1, verse 8, it says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and Jesus is not in us. Is that how your Bible says? Is that the way your Bible say? Because that's exactly what John was trying to convey to us. And I'll give you the text. I'll give a little bit later, I'll give you the text that it shows it. He says, when we say that we have no sin, we say we don't need Jesus. We don't need the truth. We don't need the path of the righteous. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So sometimes when we think that for the sake of the truth, I should keep relationship with everyone, I want to call your attention. I put only two verses here, but there are many others that says to us, we have to relate with the people in the world. But one thing is to relate to them. We are to try to bring them the truth, or sometimes embracing their deceptive ways. How many people, they have been in the church and they left the church because they became too friendly with people who taught them to believe something else. And if you think that, oh no, I'm Seventh-day Adventist for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, I know everything, I'm so mature, there's no problem. I was in a meeting with some church members. And one person said, Pastor, Jesus is not God. Amen. No, not amen. Don't say that, please. not even as a joke. Do you know what happens? Why would a person that has been a Seventh-day Adventist for more than 30 years will say Jesus is not God? Is that person actually a Seventh-day Adventist? Is a person a Seventh-day Adventist if there is 28 beliefs and the person believes only in 25? Can you call yourself a Seventh-day Adventist when you say, I want to keep only part of the doctrines, only part of the teachings? Or can you say, I follow the truth, I keep the Ten Commandments, but I have a problem with one of them, but it's still nine. I'm still a law-abiding person. Are you? Yeah, we have a little noise going on there in the mic. It says, the path of the righteous. In Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2 says this, blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. He says, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law he meditates day and night. Some people from some churches don't like this text, because when it talks about law, they said there is no such thing in law anymore. We are under grace. We are free to do whatever we please, and God will save us. Now, going back to the story. This lady says there is no, Christ is not God. I was wondering what motivates this person to say such a thing. And I tried to give some Bible text to show that Jesus is God. And that's how we believe. That's what the Bible says. And then the person continued insisting. And I found out later on why. Because that particular person has somebody very important in her life that is a Jehovah's Witness. Sometimes we don't realize we listen to some people for so many times, and every time we hear, it goes in and it stays in. Once a person asked, Pastor, is there any problem for me to listen to those speakers on Sunday morning? Because there is a whole menu. I can go this type of Pentecostal. I can go that type, a little more mellow Baptist. I can go there. There's a whole menu. There are some that are motivator. Some talk about how to attain fortune. Some will say this. What about, Pastor? I said, look, every single thing goes in your mind. It stays there and it forms who you are. You become a reflection of what you listen to, what you've been exposed to. You expose a person to lies, and that person will become a liar as well. What is the truth? What is truth? The question still asks, what is the truth? Not what is truth, but what is the truth? What or who is the Word? The Bible says about what the Word is, right? Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is the truth. So, it's not a matter of opinion. That's what the Bible says. Your Word is the truth. Then it says this, in the beginning was the Word. Who do you think he was talking about? And the Word was with God. Just for you to have any doubt, I just put a picture there. It says, and the Word was God. The Word was God. This text alone is one that they refer to Jesus is God. Okay? And then it says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There is no way you can say, I'm going to worship God in spirit and some lies, or some opinions. But it says truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Who is the Father seeking? Those that wants to worship in spirit and in truth. Now, I am the truth, Jesus said. What else did He say? I am the way, the truth, and that leads you to life. Life is the topic for next week's message. The entirety of your word is truth. How much? The whole Bible. Every single one. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Psalm 119, 160, New King James Version. The unattended garden. By the way, do you have a garden in your house? The rain comes, and what happens? There are some weeds, they grow so fast. And if you don't pull them out, pretty soon you have a whole field taken over by the weeds. You know what the problem with the weeds? They grow so fast, so they have to drag eat every single substance that is in the ground instead of going to that nice tree that you want to grow, the orange tree or other tree. The weeds take all the nutrients out of the ground. And they do fast. Why? Because they know the sun is coming out and they're going to be burned. And so they have to grow fast, produce seeds, and die. And believe me, those that are not follow the truth sometimes act exactly the same way. This individual says, the unattended garden will soon be overrun by weeds. The heart that fails to convey the truth and root out error will shortly be a theological mess. Oh no, it says wilderness. It is just a mess. This was a preacher, a self-educated preacher who became very famous. In all his life, even though he wrote many books, he was very successful, had an opportunity to become a very rich man. He never owned a car, and he never, all the royalties of all his books he gave to the poor. He lived his life the way he preached. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. What? Now, I feel sorry for those people that are going to the pulpit and attack the law, says there is no more law, that the law was changed, Jesus nailed the law on the cross. I feel sad for them because they say, what was nailed to the cross? Because thy law is the truth. Psalm 119, 142, the King James Version. Now by this we know that we know him. How do we know that we know him? If we keep his commandments. But you notice that John here says, he who says, I know him, it does not keep his commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in him. Why the truth is not in him? Because the Bible says clearly the commandments of God is the truth. Jesus is the truth. The word is the truth. But whoever keeps his word, it says, truly the love of God is perfected in him. But this we know that we are in him if we keep the truth. He who says that he abides in him, in the truth, ought himself also to walk, talk, and behave like he did. Then you can tell that you have the truth. You know these colors? Those are the colors of false worshipers. The powers that deceive. The powers that fight against the truth at every measure that they can. The Bible says the dragon will become enemy of the truth because he's a liar from the beginning. The beast, which is the one that the dragon has delegated the responsibility to deceive. And the beast delegated that same task to her daughters. And the false prophet. And spiritism. The powers that deceive, the powers that fight against the truth. I used this last week. And you know what is going to appear on the screen? The word apostasy. What is apostasy? Anybody who turns their backs to the truth becomes part of apostasy. The power that deceives, the power that tries to fight against truth at all cost. Now, can you see on the screen? Can you see what is that in the screen? I'd like to say to you that that is not the Ten Commandments. Oh, I call your attention. It says that God's Ten Commandments. But you need to see how daring people are. This is a huge monument in front of a church. And I don't know, you cannot see from there, but the reflection on the monument shows the person who is taking the picture. And you know this person who took this picture. All of you here know this person. Let me tell you what he said. I took this picture of a stone monument of the Ten Commandments of what it looks like. He should put in quotations, Ten Commandments, in front of a local Catholic church. Yeah, he posted this in his Facebook, June 7, 2013. But let me call your attention here. If you look at the commandments, there is one missing, completely, without any. What do you think is the one who is missing? By the way, this is a Catholic church who made this. So which one do you think is completely missing? Some of you say, oh, the Sabbath. No, that is there. There is one, yes, to make images. They took that out. Why? Because, I don't know if, and I'm not here to bash the Catholic Church, okay? But error is error. What is wrong is wrong. Okay? And if we don't speak what is about what is the truth is, who else will? Okay? So, it is the commandment they took out. So when you take out of 10, you take one out, what happens? It's no longer 10. You can call 10 commandments. That's why I told you it's not 10 commandments because there's no 10 there. They should be the 9 commandments of the Catholic Church, but not of God. You cannot, brothers and sisters, take the truth of God, make your own opinion, change a few things and call God's. At least be honorable and say, this is my doing. I will face God and I will answer for my doing. But don't call it God's Ten Commandments. And they put this in front for the street for to tell everybody so that they continue telling the lie. Now let me show you what it says in their fourth commandment. I don't know if you can read, but this is the actual writing on the stone. And so we just try to make it. It says, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. T-H-E. The Sabbath day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day, again, T-H-E. The seventh day, not a seventh day. The seventh day. All of you know the difference between a Sabbath, the Sabbath, the seventh day, or a seventh day. A seventh day is up to you to pick one. But the seventh day, God already made that choice. It's already in stone, literally in stone. And so it says, but look how some versions, by the way, some versions of the Bible, they took the liberty to do exactly the same thing the Catholic Church is doing. And some are Catholic scholars that have participated in translations of the Bible. They later on here is going to say like this, but the seventh day is what? According to this, it says a Sabbath. No, brothers and sisters, the seventh day is not a Sabbath, it's the Sabbath. And you take some Spanish versions of the Bible. They took the liberty not to capitalize the word Sabbath. They put it in small letter because it says it is not a noun. It's just you pick. And some versions even, I check in Italian. I check in some versions in French, also in Spanish and Portuguese. I check in some versions don't even say the word Sabbath anymore because their intent is to deceive. So they said rest is a day of rest. No, brothers, it's not a day of rest. It's a day, a holy day for us to have a relationship with our beloved God. Jesus Christ says, you are of your father's the devil. Who was he talking to? You may not like what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say anyway. It says, you are of your father the devil. He was talking to church people. He was not talking about tax collectors, prostitutes, thieves. He was talking to leaders of the church. The same church that tried to destroy the truth by holding hands with Rome and taking the truth to the cross and tried to silence the truth. And since then, the church has been holding hands with the Romans and trying to silence those that wants the truth to be told. Your father is the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Yes, the only will they want to do is the devil's will. They don't want to do God's will. They don't want to follow the truth. He was a murderer from the beginning. Brothers and sisters, God is not a murderer. The devil is. The Bible calls God Abba. The Bible calls the devil Abaddon. Abaddon means the destroyer. He is the one who caused all the destruction, all the evil. Don't blame God for it. And does not stand in the truth. He does not, because there is no truth in him. There is no Jesus in him. He rejects. And when he speaks the lie, he speaks from what? His own resources. Why? Because he's a liar from the beginning. We are almost done. It says here, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. This is a very revealing text. Because it tells me clearly, just because somebody is spiritual does not mean that the person has the truth or actually worshiping God. It says, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, not the will of the devil, but the will of my Father in heaven, those are the ones who have the truth. But many will say to me that day, it will be too late, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and have done many wonders in your name? Literally, they say three times, we have prophesied, preached, we have cast out demons, we have performed miracles. And by the way, you turn on television, you see people with the holy water came just from Israel. If you send $1,000, we'll send you this tiny little present with the holy water. You sprinkle, and then you, oh, voila, you're all good. Believe me, if you are that dumb to accept that as a, maybe you deserve what you paid for. That's what the devil is doing with people. I feel pity on those because some of them are very sincere people. They are so desperate seeking healing. But the devil have them blinded. And then I will tell them clearly, I have no idea who you are. I do not know the name of your denomination. I have no idea where you got your degree, your theology degree. I have no idea, no matter how many yachts you have, no matter how fancy you dress, you know, those $10,000 suit that you come in on TV to preach, I have no idea who you are. Because why? Because you practice lawlessness. The law is the truth. If you have not the truth, you practice lawlessness. You practice untruth. And if you practice untruth, depart from me. I put that word depart in red and in yellow. Why? The word depart, if you spoke Latin, you would know where these words come from. It's much easier to understand. It's, for me, it's easier. Depart means you take something is whole and you depart, you take apart, you tear. It says, out from here. You don't belong in the body of Christ. It's like, God, depart from me. You are not part of me. You do not belong. And here is the last verse for today. Never give up praying. Because if you pray, the Lord will show you the truth. And when you see the truth, you'll be free indeed. And when you pray, keep alert. And be thankful, be grateful. God bless all of you. If you have the confidence that you have accepted the truth, that you know the truth, don't let the weeds come up. Read, observe, practice. Because the truth only will remain in you if you remain faithful to the principles that God has taught you. Read your Bible, brothers and sisters. It's coming a time when they won't be around anymore. There will be a time that the Bibles won't be around anymore. There will be some fake Bibles, but you won't be able even to understand them because they will be adulterated. So read now when you have the time. Because the time is coming when all of you will be tested if you have the truth or not, if you follow the truth or not. May God, who called you to the truth, sustain you in the truth. Amen.
Amen.